Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
A unique couple meet in 1920s Germany and fall in love. Their relationship is fiery, but they become famous dancers, dazzling audiences, and yet their commitment to their art will lead them both to a heart-breaking tragedy. I'm Peter Lawson. Tonight I give you Tears on the Dance Floor, the tragic love and heartbreaking fate of Lavinia Schultz and Walter Holt. I do enjoy digging into obscure corners of the internet. I think that's because I like to find stories to share with you that aren't as well known. Well, the other day I was on one of my digital research expeditions when I happened to be scrolling through some pictures. And you know that feeling of when you scroll through something and something catches your eye and you just have to scroll back up frantically and find it? Well, this happened to me on Saturday afternoon when I stumbled on some remarkable pictures. Now, to be honest, at first I thought they were artificially generated. They look really wild and unreal, and they look like someone had just written in the prompt, like antique version of The Masked Singer, you know, the TV show. So imagine my surprise when I dug a little deeper and found that these were actual photographs of actual costumes. They were made by a married couple who lived in 1920s Germany. Lavinia Schultz and Walter Holt created them for wild dance performances. Now, intrigued, I started to look into the background of this couple, and I discovered a fascinating and heartbreaking story of a man and woman who found one another, fell in love, created remarkable art together, but then fell into devastating poverty and despair. There's a photograph that was taken on February the 10th, or it might have been the 11th, in 1922 during an art festival in Hamburg. We don't know for certain if it's definitely Lavinia and Walter, but it's thought it could well be. If it is, it's the only photograph in existence showing them both without masks and costumes, and it's the only photograph in the world that has ever featured Walter Holt. There's very little about this couple on podcasts or YouTube, but their story is a compelling and sad one, and it starts in Berlin. Lavinia Berta Schultz was born on June 23, 1886, in Lüben, in Germany. She lived in that town until she turned 16, and that's when she moved 50 miles away to the bustling capital of the country, Berlin. We don't know exactly why she went to Berlin or exactly where she lived at that time, but it's strongly assumed that she went there to study something to do with the arts, because her early sketches demonstrate an academic background. She was really, really quite talented. Now, Lavinia was recovering from ear surgery at the time, but despite these challenges, this ambitious teenager worked hard, pushed through the pain, and she perfected her passion for the creative arts. Now, she must have shown great talent because in time she managed to get a job at the Sturmbühne Theater as a seamstress and costumer for the productions there. But her talent shone through beyond even that, and she started to be asked to become a performer on the stage itself. Now, there is another German artist at the time called Lothar Schreyer, and he worked as a writer and an artist and a stage designer, and we know something about this couple from his memoirs. He mentions early on that she was a unique and sometimes shocking woman, a difficult woman, who stirred some scandal in the theatre early on. It happened in October 1918 when Schreyer and the theatre ran a production of a play called Sancta Susanna. This one-act opera is basically about nuns in a convent who start giving in to their erotic fantasies, complete with scenes in which the nuns invoke Satan with Latin prayers. So it's already an incredibly controversial production. But Schreyer said that Lavinia's performance in that opera was so powerful and so unique that it caused a massive outcry in the audience. People were freaking out. She sang the music in a deliberately strange tone, something that off-put members of the audience, but also there was apparently a scene in which she came on the stage fully nude. The response was overwhelming. The audience were both stunned and enraged. Schreyer reckons that they started shouting at Lavinia and the other actors, so the scene ended up getting so aggressive that they had to call the police in to protect the rest of the cast and crew. A mob of demonstrators had flooded the front of the building to complain about the play, but also about Lavinia specifically. Now, whether this actually happened or not is up for debate. I say that because a reviewer at the time said the audience did not freak out that much at the show and that Lavinia was actually in a bikini on stage. So who knows the real thing that happened that night? But either way, it doesn't really matter, because what does matter is that Schreyer thought Lavinia was something of a wild card, and he liked that. In fact, he went on to call Lavinia his most gifted student. And so it's not a surprise to find that he invited her to join him when he moved to Hamburg in 1919, which is where he set up his own company of actors and performers. He called it the Kampfbühne. They didn't have a venue, but they still went ahead and started doing performances, and Lavinia was part of the troupe. It was here that Lavinia would meet the person who would essentially be the love of her life, though that love and those lives would be short-lived and turbulent, because it was in Hamburg that she met Walter. Walter Holt was 3 years younger than Lavinia. He was born on the 20th of December, 1899. He was born in Hamburg, where he worked as a trading apprentice, but his passion was for the arts. And so he joined Kampfbühne Theatre Group because he was actually an incredibly talented dancer. Now, we don't know the details of their early relationship, but in an article written by Jan Rietz, he argues that it would almost certainly have been love at first sight. Lavinia and Walter connected very quickly. They saw each other as kindred spirits who shared a fierce focus on beauty, dance, spirituality, and art. And so they quickly started a relationship together, and love bloomed between the couple. So much so, in fact, that they both decided that they wanted to be married. However, they were not convinced that their respective parents would accept this marriage. Neither Lavinia or Walter were the type to let other people tell them what to do, and so, on August the 30th, 1921, they were married in secret. So Lavinia and Walter were married, but this was far from a fairy tale romance. Lavinia was known as being extremely volatile and emotional. In fact, Schreyer's memoir specifically talks about him working with Lavinia Schultz, and he called her, well, he said it was like a serious test of nerves, quote. But Lavinia wasn't only angry, she had a sense of sadness about her. She had despair in her life. She once wrote a letter in which she talks about her troubles with feeling lost. She says,
"Since my 17th year, I feel my life is nothing but purgatry. When will I be through?"
And so she and Walter would get into arguments during their married life. The arguments were really getting out of hand. They would start to physically fight each other using their fists. The relationship was what you might call feisty. Now, of course, all couples struggle, and very normal to have fallouts and arguments throughout a marriage or a long-term relationship. But there was something deeper going on with these two. There was a sad trend towards self-neglect that characterized both her and Walter. There was a composer at the time called Heinz Stuckenschmidt, and he shared an apartment with Lavinia and Walter in the years 1921 to 22, so basically their first year of marriage. And he writes about the couple in his autobiography, and he paints a rather bleak picture of their relationship. He says, "Deprivation, hunger, coldness, Nordic landscapes with storm, ice, and catastrophes, that was her world, and she had found herself in it with Holt. And Lothar Schreyer had been using them both in productions at the Kampf Bühne Theatre Group, but after a while, he and the rest of the company were frankly getting sick of the couple's regular arguments, even on stage. He described them as, quote, eccentric conniptions that they had together, and eventually he felt that their relationship was too toxic to fit into their company, and so he kicked them out of the Kampf Bühne. Schreyer, incidentally, went on to teach at a Berlin art school before converting to Catholicism in 1933. The same year, he made a public declaration of his allegiance to Adolf Hitler and Nazism. But back in the early 20s, Lavinia and Walter were now out of this company and on their own. And the question, of course, was, what would they do? Would it lead them into an even deeper time of despair? Ironically, no. Because it was here, and maybe only here, when they finally started to blossom. Now they were on their own, Lavinia and Walter discussed what they should do next, and they both adored art and performance so much that they knew they had to go for that. They had no interest in getting a kind of normal job. And they knew that they should step out on their own. And so they teamed up together to create an act. And they called this act Die Maskentänzer, which in English means the mask dancers. For them, this was much more than just an artistic endeavor, though. The couple were excited to work together to create almost like a mode of living where there was no separation between their art and their life. Indeed, they were said to live each day wearing their dance tights, just so they could be constantly ready to dance at any given moment. They devoted themselves to their act and began designing astonishing costumes, the very ones that caught my eye at the start of all this. By the way, they called these costumes not costumes, but body masks, and people who have examined them have remarked on how well tailored they are, even though we have no knowledge of how these two became such expert sewers and tailors. But they had extremely limited resources to do this work, so they were using stuff like cardboard and papier-mâché, and just garbage they would find on building sites. But they would gather all of this junk together to make something utterly unique and striking. And they would put them on and practice the routines, coming up with mad and energetic dances that left them breathless and excited about what the possibilities held. They worked on these costumes and choreographed it all, by the way, at the same place they lived, in the basement of an apartment block in Hamburg, just near the train station. They had no hot water. The floor wasn't boarded or carpeted. And the two of them would work on their designs together, trying them on and demonstrating them for one another. And at night, they would go to sleep, not in beds, because they couldn't even afford to have beds. They slept in hammocks. Now, despite the impressive nature of these masks, Rietz points out how horrible it was to wear them. If you put one of these masks on your face, you would find sharp wires sticking out, scratching at the skin. Some parts of the masks were hammered together with nails, and those sharp ends of those nails would point inward towards the face and the eyes, and the wearer would be in jeopardy. And so that's why they had to wrap bandages around their heads before putting these things on. The costumes were incredibly heavy too, but apart from the bandages, Lavinia and Walter would not allow anything to make the costumes easier to wear. Their approach to art was that it was something that should take something from them. They wanted to expend energy and even feel pain creating this. If it was too easy, they said, then it wouldn't be a worthwhile expression of art. And so with these fantastical basement creations in hand, the husband and wife took their work out into the local arts community, hoping that some of the local stages might invite them to perform their wacky dances. And sure enough, they got invited. And they started to perform their outlandish and head-spinning routines, sometimes to music especially composed for the show. It really was an assault on the senses, and the audiences of Germany were just kind of gobsmacked. This was thrilling. To quote the author, Karl Topfer, he says,
"Their wild performances had creeping, stamping, squatting, crouching, kneeling, arching, striding, lunging, leaping in mostly diagonal, spiraling patterns."
This flurry of creativity began to be noticed by critics of the time. Rietz says that the reviews would mark out Lavinia as being the more creative member of the duo, but that Walter was the superior dancer. And so together they were able to create something really special and unique. It only really worked because it drew on one another's talent. They were really quite a pair. Finally, their hopes of a career in the arts was coming true, but it would not last very long. Most of us know that it's a good idea to eat better, but it often sounds complicated, time-consuming, and expensive. Well, you're in luck, because with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, you can enjoy meals that are simple, fast, and a lot cheaper than you might think. With Factor, you can choose from 35 different meal options each week, and they arrive at your door not frozen, oh no, but fresh. Each delicious meal is dietitian approved and crafted by a chef, and so they just taste. It's super flexible too, with Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto options. You can also pick from 60 add-ons like snacks, smoothies, and pancakes. Yep, Factor will keep you going throughout the day. It's fast too, because you can make each meal in just 2 minutes. And with no cleanup and mess, you'll be eating restaurant-quality meals at home without any fuss. And you need to check out the price, because it's actually less expensive than takeout. But don't take my word for it. Let your stomach decide with this fabulous offer for my listeners. Head to factormeals.com/curious50 and use curious50 to get 50% off. That's code curious50 at factormeals.com/curious50 to get 50% off.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
By 1921, Lavinia and Walter, better known as the Masked Dancers, had become something of a hit in Hamburg and beyond. They play at famous German arts festivals, and audiences would love coming to see them. But they were so passionate about their art being a fusion of their everyday life, it wasn't just a performance, that they did something that might surprise you. They refused to accept any payment for any of these performances. They were being asked to play festivals and halls, but they insisted they would only do it for free. For them, the struggle of art was the core part of it all, and if they, or a core part of it all, and if they accepted any payment, it would somehow feel like they were becoming dependent on the theatres. They wanted to be free of all that, so they saw their work as almost like a spiritual expression. Here's a letter that Lavinia wrote on this topic.
Probably some among them in the audience were wondering why we offer our performances or events for free. You cannot sell spiritual ideas for money. Spirit and money are two antagonistic poles, and if you sell spiritual ideas for money, you have sold the spirit to the money and lost the spirit.
Now, some people might admire the couple and their artistic integrity, but you don't need to be Sherlock Holmes to figure out that an approach to a career like that is going to lead to serious financial issues. And that is exactly what happened. And it was this that would become their downfall. Money got so tight that Walter eventually had to take up a day job, which he hated, but he dropped that job when it started to affect their performances. And so instead, Walter formed a band, playing the drums in a jazz band in the red light district of Hamburg. And yet playing in a band started to take its toll, and it affected their other performances too. And so after a while of working hard to get extra money, Walter began to get sick with the strain of it all. And then, in December 1922, Lavinia made an announcement. She was pregnant. But they were so desperately poor, they had to rely on financial help from a painter called Emil Nold. Their baby was born in 1923, a little boy, which they called Hans Heinz. Having a child was a catalyst moment. They started to realize that they should try, perhaps, to start performing again, but this time charge money, and they decided it would be best to try some more mainstream dance routines for the widest appeal. And yet they'd wowed so many people with the avant-garde stuff, this new folksy comfortable dancing act just didn't catch on. And what's more, their bodies were struggling to cope with the extreme dancing that had made them semi-famous before. And so they started to desperately try to come up with ideas for creating art that paid. Lavinia tried to branch out into fashion design, for example, and the work she came up with was actually quite excellent. Her outfits were ahead of their time, and yet she was never able to get any of them actually made. And so her wonderful ideas were just trapped on paper. Desperate to find some other way of making money from art, they explored another potential area of work, puppetry. We know this because historians have been able to find their drawings of miniature stage and marionette designs. This could have been a really, exciting avenue for them, but yet, like the fashion design, it just never took off. It is incredibly hard to make a living as a creative person. I know the challenge of that myself. But creative people often find themselves like rebranding and relentlessly trying new things, and so they kept coming up with more and more ideas. At one point, they thought they might even make a film. They felt that this might be a good way to showcase their talents with the world. And we actually still have the surviving storyboards for this film that they put together in 1923. But once again, none of their plans ever took hold, and they were left with sketchbooks and paper filled with wonderful ideas fueled by undeniable talent. But it was just getting consumed by a life of grinding poverty and a baby to feed. Any couple knows that one of the prime tensions in any relationship is financial, and so it's no shock to find that the grim state of their careers had a terrible effect on Lavinia and Walter's relationship. Reitz says that they both dealt with these pressures in different ways. Walter eventually fell into a deep depression, which had him almost permanently lying in his hammock, unable to get out of it. I've had friends with depression who have had that similar struggle to just get out of bed in the morning. It just feels impossible. Lavinia, on the other hand, was following her frantically creative brain, and she was always at work on some new idea or other. But ultimately, nothing really took on. She was worried as well that her work might be stolen by rival artists. Lavinia's parents looked on at this spiraling down of the situation with an aching sense of concern. Surely their daughter was heading for a nervous breakdown, they thought. They believed that she should divorce Walter. If she didn't, they believed that Lavinia and Walter would eventually die of sheer poverty and starvation. The parents were right to be worried. When Lavinia and Walter died, they were still known enough in Hamburg to make the papers. And most of the reports on their death said that they had died from what they called, quote, double suicide from privation. In other words, it was thought that they had died of exactly what Lavinia's parents were scared of, starvation and deprivation brought on by their own choices. And yet this was not really how it happened. You see, the couple reached the end of their troubled road on July the 18th, 1924. It was around 7 a.m. that day when Lavinia had reached breaking point. She had a loaded gun. I don't know where or how she got it, but she took that gun that morning and she approached Walter, who was lying in his hammock, probably asleep. And she raised the gun, and we have no way of knowing what was racing through her head at the time. If anything, all we know is that she fired that gun twice into his head. Remember that they lived in the basement of an apartment block, and so after she shot him, she ran out into the staircase and started screaming up at the other tenants, and she openly announced that she had just killed her husband, and she added that she was now going to turn the gun on herself. And after this, she hurried back into the apartment where Walter lay dead, and she put the gun to her own head, and she fired. Neighbors had heard the screaming, but now the gunshots had prompted them to call the police. Officers arrived at the apartments and stepped into the basement apartment. And there they saw the dead body of Walter still lying in that hammock he had struggled to get out of all of this time. Meanwhile, Hans Heinz, the little boy, was lying in the baby bed. He was 1 year old at this point, and he had not been harmed. I wonder if the reason that Lavinia ran outside and called out to the neighbors was perhaps because she wanted to make sure there'd be someone there for the baby after she pulled the trigger on herself. And there, lying on the floor of the bedroom, lay Lavinia Schultz. But when they examined her, they found that she was actually still alive. And so she was rushed to St. George Hospital, and she made it through that day, but she died from her injuries the day after. It was July 19th, 1924. A husband and wife who had been through so much together in just a few short years had reached the end of their difficult path. News of their pitiful deaths swept through the art community. And while friends and colleagues were heartbroken, they weren't exactly shocked. They knew how awful the dancers' lives had been, yet still it was a sad and cruel conclusion for a couple with great talent. Lothar Schreyer summed up the feelings of many of the couple's friends and colleagues when he wrote this haunting line in his memoir, referring to the crumbling relationship that ended in murder and suicide. He wrote this:
"We saw it happen, far from us and unreachably near at the same time. And still today, the burden of an oppressive guilt rests on us."
This is a poignant thought that might touch a nerve in some of you. The idea of having someone in your life who seems on the road to self-destruction, you can see it coming. You can try to help. But while they are right there and near, somehow you can't save them. And when the destruction comes, you can't help but ask, what more could I have done? If that's you, please, please set yourself free of that. It is not the fault of you or the others, but it's still not easy to dismiss those types of feelings when they come. The son, Hans Heinz, was sent to live with relatives of his father. He lived in both Sweden and England, and he would be interviewed years later about his parents, and unsurprisingly, he had no memory of them whatsoever. The couple had died in 1924, and in 1925, a local museum in Hamburg decided to honor Lavinia and Walter with an evening held in their memory. Their amazing costumes and their body masks were on display, and no doubt people looked at them with a sad sense of appreciation of what was, what could have been. And then, when that single night to honor them was over, the costumes were folded into their boxes and placed in the attic of the museum. And they lay there forgotten. They weren't even recorded in the museum's inventory of objects. They were just stuffed into a box, as if nobody really knew what to do with them. And as the years ticked by, nobody even knew they were there. The fact that they weren't inventoried actually turns out to be a blessing. You see, Nazism was on the rise in Germany at the time, and with it came an attitude to certain types of art. The Nazis would have seen Lavinia and Walter's work as unworthy and degenerate. And so in all likelihood, when the Nazis took power, they would have sought those costumes out and destroyed them. But they never even knew they were there, because nobody had bothered to write them down. Their work may have been forgotten forever until a chance discovery of the boxes in 1988. Someone opened them up and were dazzled by the contents inside. The museum took one look at them and knew these were important artifacts, and so they were unboxed and lovingly restored. The body masks, the most famous work of Lavinia and Walter, were put on display in the museum. And they're still there to this day. And many who pass them remark on how wonderful and weird and inventive they are. Yet so many who see them have no idea of the astonishing couple behind them, who sat in that basement together sewing every meticulous hem and working on creating something unique and new, not only in their art, but in their everyday life. Perhaps they'd both hoped their unique approach would lead to a wonderful expression of artistic freedom and appreciation from the world. They certainly did have that for a short time. They always said, though, that art should embrace the struggle. I wonder if they still thought that when everything started to unravel and fall apart at the seams. I find the story of Lavinia Schultz and Walter Holt to be a moving one. On one level, it's a tragic love story. On the other, it's a tale that will resonate with creative people who know the brutal struggle of working hard on ideas and creations that never truly find a home. But it is also a story of creations that somehow live on. This couple created something weird and unique and strangely beautiful, and at the end, perhaps they thought they were gonna die in obscurity, destined to be forgotten. But I wonder, on those nights of sitting together as a couple, sewing and fixing and trying out dance steps, what would they think if they knew that people would still be talking about their work and about their complicated love story 100 years later? I'm Peter Laws, and you've been listening to Tears on the Dance Floor, the tragic love and heartbreaking fate of Lavinia Schultz and Walter Holt on Our Curious Past. Hey, thank you for listening to another episode of Our Curious Past. If you want to get more from me, I post more regular episodes of my other show, which is called Frightful, which is more scary true stories. You can find that at Frightful with Peter Laws on YouTube, or just search Frightful in your podcast apps. Go to peterlaws.co.uk to find out more about my work and books. Even better, check out patreon.com/peterlaws. Where you can find out ways of supporting the work I do, but also connecting and, getting lots of extras too. So thanks for listening to this fascinating and little known story. And be sure to like and subscribe if you can. Bye-bye.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.